Good morning. That was terrible. Good morning.
Good morning.
That's better. It is good to be here. Good to be with you. Announcements. There are some announcements in your bulletin here. Is there any other announcements that I don't know about? All right. Well, if there's no announcements, I'll wait a second. Let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship.
If you're able, please stand and join me in the call to worship. Come, let us worship the Lord our God, whose love quenches our thirst.
We are parched and thirsty for God's word.
Let us praise God, who is with us always.
We seek the Lord, whose faithfulness is constant.
Let us open our hearts to God, who calls us by name.
We come seeking a deeper relationship.
And now the praise team will come forward for our praise music.
Good morning, everybody. Our first song is from Rank Collective. It's called All That I Am, so please join us. And the woes are up there, so we're going to start with the woes, just so you're not confused when you're starting here. So.
Next song,
Abby's going to join us on piano. It's Jules and me, the only name.
All right, can I have the rest of the to get to come up? Yeah? I grew up in the inner city. Comb? Someone says a dinosaur comb. No? All right, I didn't grow up on a farm. So what is it? Yep, I grew up in the city. Did y'all hear that? Something to fix chains on a cow manure spreader. But you know what? Sometimes, when I'm in the stalls, cleaning them out, I have my best ideas. You realize that? Like, I'm in there, and it feels like it's the worst time because you're dealing with manure, which is gross, and I'm stepping in it and cleaning it. But that's when sometimes God speaks to me. Isn't that silly? Sometimes when we're going through a hard time in life, it feels like we're in a pile of manure, but something bad's happening. Sometimes that's when the greatest things happen, right? And you get candy because that was rough. I had no idea. I didn't grow up on a farm. You didn't either? All right, so let's pray and then you can have candy. And I fail a third time. Two in a row. Terrible. Don't tell Travis. Father, we thank you and praise you for our youth. I thank you and praise you, Father, for this children's moment where no matter what is brought in to this church, we can always find you in it. In this tool that fixes a cow manure spreader, we can find you. We thank you for that. Father, I lift up these youth to you and ask that you would bless them and keep them, that you would protect them and guide them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Who is going to be Travis next week? It's always you. Every time. How about something different? Have you had it? You have recently? Hold on. You work together? No. You know what I mean? I guess you're bringing it. You'll take it? Okay. It's yours. Make sure you meet Travis. Look, there's a smile now. Good job. Whew, I'm always sweating after the children's sermon for some reason. Haven't figured out why. Let's continue this morning's worship with the offering. If we could have the ushers come forward, please.
Father, we ask you to bless this church family here today.
Use these gifts to glorify your name and do the good work that you have for us. Allow us to focus on you and the path you have set for us. Help us to use our gifts to spread the light of Christ in the coming week. In your name we pray. Amen.
Now is the time that we come together as a Christian family, that we can share our joys with one another and celebrate together, and our concerns that we can lean on and pray for one another. Do we have any joys or concerns this morning? Congrats.
Considering the prayers that you've all offered up since my grandson John's accident, he is recovering. It's going to be a slow process. They said the first 5 to 7 days are the toughest, and hopefully he'll soon be making a turn for the better, and things will get progressively better as time goes on. But thank you, and please continue to keep in your prayers.
there any others? I will ask you to pray for a couple of families. As you all know, I'm on the fire department in Grand Rapids, and we had a tough run yesterday evening, a water rescue. A gentleman hit his head and fell into the water, and they couldn't find him. We ended up recovering him in a couple hours later. So the Smith family lost a husband, father, grandfather. And because it's a small town, a lot of times when something tragic like that happens, you know the person. So one of the gentlemen, a gentleman from my congregation, him and his family was on the boat with him. And he's part of the fire department, so he was diving and trying to search for his best friend and lost him. So if you would lift up the Smith and the Kiefer family for Grand Rapids. And if there are no others, let us go before the Lord in silent prayer. Good morning, Father. We thank you and praise you for all that you do, the blessings that you pour upon us, the blessings that you pour upon this church and this community. We thank you for that, Father. All glory and honor go to you. Praise be your name. Thank you, Father, for being a loving God, a forgiving God, and a God who is with us. Father, we come together as a Christian family. We lift up those concerns spoken out loud, those spoken in silent, and there was plenty today. Father, we lift up Jim Stout's family. We lift up the Smith family, Father, who lost loved ones, and we ask that you would give them strength, that you would give them comfort in their time of loss. Let them feel your presence. I lift up Janet and Clyde and John and the Kiefer family and ask for your healing, that you would be with them, that you would give them strength, understanding. Father, we also lift up the joys. Without you, there would be no joy. So we thank you for that. We thank you for anniversaries. We thank you for graduations. We thank you for birthdays. We thank you for love. We thank you for your son who demonstrated that true love and what it should be. Father, we lift up our country to you and ask that you would heal, that our leaders would be able to come together, work together, sit down at a table and talk together and work through differences, that they would do your will and glorify your name and not their own. We lift up our community and its leaders, and ask that you would bless this community, this church, and allow it to do your will and glorify your name. Father, you give us free will. You give us the right to choose. Choose whether to follow you or not. We choose whether we let you into our community or not, our homes or not, into our heart or not. Father, we are here to say that we want you to come into our hearts. Change our hearts. Soften our hearts. Open our eyes to see and our ears to hear. And it's with that that we come together and boldly say the prayer that your Son, our Lord and Savior, taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please join with me in the next hymn. Immortal, invisible, God only wise. Please stand.
Good morning. Thank you for joining with me singing this song of praise.
Lesson today comes from Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. Then they arrived at the country of Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him, and he shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and he would be driven by the demons into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now, there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherds saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. Here ends the reading.
I'm going to go ahead and tell on myself while I'm up here. It's what I do during my sermons. I often talk about my shortcomings. I wasn't the greatest kid growing up, always. I wasn't really bad, but there were times. For instance, I started smoking at a very young age. I was 12. It's all right, I don't smoke anymore. But I started smoking at the age of 12 and didn't quit till my mid-20s. So kids, I don't recommend it because it takes forever to try to get rid of it. But I had an older cousin who started smoking as a teenager, and she offered me a cigarette. She was my older cousin, my older cool cousin, so of course I was going to try it. I did. I thought I liked it because I thought it made me look older. I thought it made me look cool. I thought it made me look tougher. I'll get back to that in a second. Well, growing up, when I got into my teens, my dad would come to me before Christmas and say, "You have a choice. You can get one big expensive gift, or you can get several smaller gifts. It's your choice." I always picked the expensive gift, and there was one Christmas I wanted only one thing: a leather jacket. Not just any leather jacket. I wanted the black leather biker jacket with all the buckles and the zippers. That's all I wanted. To me, that was the coolest jacket ever. Christmas came along, I got my jacket. I got the black leather biker jacket with all the buckles and the zippers, and I thought I was the coolest ever. So I was bummed one day when the outer left pocket developed a hole in it. The outer left pocket, you know, the pockets where you put your hands in when your hands are cold, the left outer pocket tore open and had a hole. So, I was bummed. When I was a teenager, I was also on a pit crew for my uncle, who was a race car driver, and I was going to the races for the weekend, and my dad said, "Hey, while you're gone, why don't you leave your jacket and I'll have it repaired?" Great idea. I need the left outer pocket repaired. My dad, being the great dad that he was, took my jacket in for repairs. He went to the old Southwick Mall, walked into the leather store, and put my jacket on the counter to get the left outer pocket repaired. Only my dad forgot which pocket it was. So instead of pulling out the left outer pocket, he pulled out the left inner pocket. The left inner pocket is where I kept my pack of cigarettes. I wasn't dumb. I didn't leave a pack of cigarettes in the pocket. What was in the pocket was loose tobacco that had fallen out of my pack of cigarettes. I was busted. So when I got home from the races that Sunday, my dad was sitting on the couch next to my stepmom with my leather jacket draped across his lap. He informed me what had happened. I was busted. I was caught red-handed. So what did I do? I did the only thing that you can do when you're caught red-handed. I played dumb. It isn't mine. I don't know how it got there. All I know is it's not mine. My dad isn't dumb either, so he wasn't buying it. So I did the only thing that I could do when I got being caught red-handed is played dumber. I said, you know, my cousin who had started me smoking in the first place, everybody knew she smoked because she already got caught. I said, you know, I held onto Wendy's cigarettes for her at one time. Maybe it's from her pack. It could happen. That didn't work either. I got punished. In today's scripture, Jesus steps ashore and runs into a demon-possessed man. There's nowhere to go for these demons. These demons know who Jesus is. They know what Jesus is capable of. And according to the scripture, Jesus had already told them to come out. He already gave them an order. They were caught red-handed. So what did they do? Well, they did the only thing that you can do when you're caught red-handed. They played dumb. They started asking Jesus dumb questions. What have you to do with us, Jesus, Son of God? Almost like saying, are you talking to me? Are you talking to me? Jesus already told them what he was going to have them do. Jesus already ordered the demons to leave the man. They're asking a question that Jesus had already answered. They're playing dumb. It's the only thing that you can do when you're caught red-handed. These demons take it further. When playing dumb doesn't work, they turn to begging. They beg Jesus not to cast them out. They start negotiating. You don't really want me to go, do you? You aren't really driving me out. The guy likes me. We get along well. Sure, he's naked and living in a cemetery, but that's a life. At this point, when reading the story, I do what I often do when reading scripture. I like to put myself in one of the character's shoes. So I'm putting myself in the disciples' shoes and I start laughing. Do you really think that Jesus, the Son of God, is going to negotiate with you? Do you really think Jesus, the Son of God, is going to let you get off easy? No way that's going to work. So I'd start nudging the disciple next to me, John, check this out. Watch this. Jesus is about to lay the smackdown on these demons and we get ringside seats. Watch this. Instead, Jesus asks him, what's your name? Legion, he replied, because many demons had gone into him and they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs and he gave them permission. What? What do you mean he gave them permission? That's not how this was supposed to go down. That's not how this was supposed to happen. There was supposed to be this big war, many deaths. Jesus was supposed to lay the smack down on these demons. I would have protested the outcome if I was one of the disciples there. No way, Jesus. Don't let them talk you into being easy on them. They don't deserve it. The demons beg Jesus not to send them into the abyss. The abyss was thought to be a place of the dead. It was also thought to be a watery place, which twists the plot again. Jesus wasn't letting them off easy. The last part of verse 32 says, when the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. They didn't get off easy at all. They ended up in the abyss anyway. They just went on their own. When I got caught with my tobacco, I was punished. I was grounded. My dad didn't let me off easy. Jesus appeared like he was going to give in, but he didn't. He just let the demons choose their own path to get there. The demons are gone, the possessed man is healed, and that's where another crazy thing in this story happens. Verses 34 through 36. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. The people of the town heard about what had happened, and like my town of Grand Rapids, and I'm sure this town, like any other little town, everybody's got to come out to see what happens. There he is, the man that had been tormenting the town for years. The demon-possessed man is there, dressed and in his right mind. And that's not the crazy part. The next part is the crazy part. Then all the people of the region asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got in the boat and he left. He got in the boat and he left. That's the crazy part to me. They ask him to leave and he leaves. No explanation, no argument, no pleading. No explaining why it's a good idea you let me stay. He just leaves. You see, folks, we're given a choice. We're given free will. Jesus isn't going to try to talk us into it. He isn't going to plead his case. He isn't going to beg you to follow him. He isn't going to beg you to let him in. He's going to share the good news and wait for your response. Jesus gives us a choice whether we allow him into our country or not. He gives us a choice whether we allow him into our community. He gives us a choice whether we allow him into our homes. He gives us a choice whether we allow him into our hearts. And he isn't going to beg us. The outcome will be the same whether we're a part of it or not. Jesus is going to complete the task whether we're a part of it or not. Jesus will return to judge the living and the dead whether we're a part of it or not. Matthew 25, 31 through 33 says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he'll sit on the glorious throne and all the nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. There are only two outcomes here. Two ways it can go, sheep or goats. We only get separated one way or another. There's not a choice C. Our actions determine which way. How we choose to go in life determines which way. Verse 38, the last verse of today's scripture, says, the man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, return home and tell how much God has done for you. So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. There are two choices. Turn Jesus away, push him out of your community, push him out of your homes, push him out of your hearts, or share the good news. Tell everyone about him. Let him into your hearts. Going back to Matthew verses 34 through 36, after Jesus separates the sheep from the goats, it says, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit.'" It was how they chose to respond to Jesus that granted them access to the Father. It was how they chose to live their lives that got them access to heaven. It was how they responded to Jesus that allowed them to take their inheritance, the kingdom prepared for them since the creation of the world. And in verses 41 through 43, "Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you didn't clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you didn't look after me.'" There are only two outcomes. How we respond to the message determines the outcome. We spend eternity with the Father. We spend eternity in the kingdom prepared for us. Or we spend eternity separated from him. Eternity in the eternal fire. That's the only two outcomes. I was a freshman in high school when my dad found tobacco in my coat. He was mad, to say the least. He was disappointed. Embarrassed when the tobacco fell on the counter. He punished me. He was good at it. He grounded me from everything that I loved. If I liked doing it, I didn't get to do it. It felt like an eternity. Even though my dad was angry, even though he was disappointed, it didn't change how much he loved me. Once the grounding was over, we went back to being best friends. I was forgiven. Did you notice what happened with the demon-possessed man? The man was so grateful that he just wanted to be with Jesus. He was so grateful he wanted to follow Jesus. And did you hear the answer that he got? No. This story has all kinds of twisting plots. First, I thought for sure Jesus would destroy the demons right where they stood. Instead, he grants them permission to end it their own way. Second, I thought when the town people told Jesus to go, he would put up a little bit more of a fight. I thought he would try to convince them why it was a good idea to let him stay. I thought he would plead with them. Instead, he just walks away. Now the man who was healed, the one man from the town who does want to be with Jesus, is turned away. I thought the man would be welcomed with open arms. I thought Jesus would have said, "Of course you're coming with me. This town is worthless." Instead, Jesus tells the man, "No, you have to stay here." It wasn't to punish the man for years of tormenting the people. It wasn't to ground him for living with demons. Jesus wanted the man to stay for a reason. Jesus gave the man a mission. He gave the man a job to accomplish. Go spread the good news. Go tell the people what I've done for you. Go share the good news. Verse 38, "So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him." Jesus didn't give up on those town people. He didn't just walk away without trying. The town people rejected Jesus, so Jesus sent someone they know. Jesus sent another townsperson back into the town to do God's work. We're given a choice in this life. We're given a choice to allow him into our towns, allow him into our homes, allow him into our hearts, or not. But he won't give up on us. He might not beg us, plead with us, but he won't give up on us. He'll continue to send people in our lives to try to reach us. But in the end, it's our own choice. Accept him or not. But he gives us a mission. For those who do accept him, he gives us a mission, and the mission is outside these doors. The mission is to spread the good news, to share the good news. And remember, when we are sent to share that good news, when we're sent to tell the story of what Jesus did for us, remember, someone may have already chased Jesus off. Someone may have already turned Jesus away. Someone may have already asked Jesus to leave. Jesus is sending you to be his hands and feet because you may be the last hope. There are only two outcomes. You let him in, or you don't. Your choice. Let us pray. Father, you give us a choice. We let you in or we don't. We're here to let you in. We're here to let you fill us with the Spirit, to guide us, to do your will and glorify your name. And there are times where our hearts are hardened. There are times where we're stubborn. There are times where we're full of fear, like the people in today's story. But we're here. And we're trying. We ask, Father, that you take away that fear. We ask that you would soften our hearts. We ask that you would give us the strength, the courage, the wisdom to move forward, to do your will, to glorify your name, to tell your story. We need your help. We need your Spirit. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Please join with me in the last hymn, Let There Be Light. Please stand.
To me, it's a hymn of invocation. Let's invite him.
Growing up, I did not grow up in a family who went to church. And there was a time where I did turn away from God, and my grandmother brought me to church. My grandmother, who was the person that introduced me to Jesus, who got me where I am today. Jesus sent somebody that I love into my life to bring me closer to Him. So when we're asked to go spread the news, when we're asked to go tell your story, someone may have already turned away Jesus. Someone may have already walked away, and He's sending you to be His hands and feet. You may be the last hope. And a lot of times we don't take on that mission. A lot of times we don't say something to somebody out of fear. Let there be light. Sometimes we are that light for people. Sometimes we are the hands and feet. Sometimes we're the ones that they see Jesus in. Let there be light. Perish the way of terror. Don't be overcome with fear like these townspeople in this story. Let's go out and share the good news. Let's have courage. Let's be His hands and feet. May God bless you and keep you. May the light of Christ shine upon you, and may the Spirit guide you. Amen.